Another wild week in high school football is behind us, and you are in the right place to hear all about it. It's The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm your host, Clark Ramsey. And joining me today in studio is the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, Mr. Paul P. Adams. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me here in the Clark Ramsey manner. It is an absolute honor and privilege to be here.
That's right. We are broadcasting from our East Side studios in Harbor Beach at the Clark Ramsey Manor. As strange as the weather has been, especially at the midway mark of the regular season, we have seen some reciprocating football games to go along with it. The largest surprise of the season are the Bad Axe Hatchets. After taking out the Cass City Redhawks in a Pac-12-esque game 50-40, they now advance to 3-2 and sit atop the Greater Thumb West, tied with Lakers at 2-0.
You know, here we are. We're in the midway point. This is when we start talking about playoffs. And we have to seriously start talking playoffs and Bad Axe football in the same sentence. This Hatchet team has a legitimate shot to make the playoffs, and they got to be looking back at week two and just kicking themselves a little bit because they let Marlette off the hook. This team could easily be 4-1 right now, but yet they still control their own destiny. What a great start and recovery for the Hatchets so far.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is presented by WLAW Sports, by McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bad Axe, and Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick on M25 in Sebring. Over the course of the next 60 minutes, we'll peruse through the area's scoreboard from Friday night, as well as an in-depth look from the WLAW Sports Game of the Week, Lakers at Vassar. It's all coming up on The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline in Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. And get a 2015 Silverado Heavy Duty Crew Cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Listen to the WLAW Sports in more ways than ever before. Tune in to Sports Radio 102.1. Download the Cruise 102 app on your Apple or Android device. Or listen live worldwide at WLAWSports.com. Clark Ramsey and Paul P. Adams in the studio today for The Strong Side on WLAW Sports, recapping week number 5 of the regular season. Across the entire area, Deckerville blows out Caseville 70-0. Just a huge game for Deckerville, putting up 40 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, this was a game that I was at for the first half, and I have never seen a team have an easier time than I saw Deckerville. This is a very, very good Deckerville team, and we're going to get to see how good they are. They have a huge, huge game coming up on Saturday. They host Lawrence, a team that beat them last year. Lawrence is a state-ranked team. I'm really looking forward to that. As for Caseville, they have their win. I still think there's a couple more winnable games on their schedule, but this was just a complete mismatch. You felt bad for Deckerville, or felt bad for Caseville. I thought Deckerville handled themselves very well. From what I understand, they were actually taking knees in the fourth quarter in order not to run up the score any more than it was.
And Peck took on Morris, and Peck takes out Morris 22-6 in Morris, Michigan.
A little surprised by this. The week before, Deckerville dismantled Morris, ran up 60-some points on him, and for Peck to go in there and only get 22 points, I'm a little surprised by that. We're going to get to see Peck and Deckerville coming up in a few weeks. It's going to decide the NCTL, and we're going to see these two teams meet again in the playoffs. But this one threw up a couple red flags for me. I still think Peck's the best team in the state, but maybe that gap isn't as big as we once thought it was.
And two close games here in eight-man football, Kingston and Dryden. Kingston comes out with a two-point victory, 26-24 over Dryden.
Kingston's a team that started off a little slow, and I think they're starting to get their footing. This was a huge fourth-quarter comeback. Dryden, they started out undefeated. Now they've gotten beat the last 2 weeks by Peck a couple weeks ago, and now by Kingston. Not quite sure how good Dryden is. I think Kingston's a real good team. They're headed for the playoffs. They have a really good defense. I think they have the ability to maybe make some noise in the postseason.
And then our final game here at eight-man football, CPS and North Huron. CPS squeaks one out over North Huron, 13-12.
Yeah, just tough sledding for North Huron. This is the first win for CPS, so a team that, you know, was your inaugural back-to-back state champions. I have fallen on some hard times. You know, North Huron, you start looking at that schedule, there's not a whole lot of games left that look like they could be W's.
And briefly on 11-man football, we'll get to each of these games throughout the course of the next 50 minutes on the strong side all the way up till 8 o'clock. Harbor Beach takes out Memphis 50-0. Sandusky over Ubley. Sandusky 13, Ubley 6. Marlette 47, Brown City 18 in Marlette. And USA gets their first win of the year, 8-6 over Reese.
That's the Sugar Bowl. That's the first Sugar Bowl victory for the Patriots since 2005 when they went to the state championship game. So that's been a long time coming for them to finally get a win over their rival. Good for USA because, honestly, it was looking like it was going to be a winless season for the Patriots. This is something to build on. They beat their rival. Obviously, Reese is not what they once were. But just a good slugfest there. And that featured a goal line stand. Reese had the ball on the three-yard line, four cracks at it late in that game. The USA defense held and then had to make a couple of first downs to salt that game away.
And Cass City falls to the Bad Axe Hatchets. Bad Axe 50, Cass City 40.
Hey, you know what? There's a new nickname on the block. His name is Touchdown Tommy Morneau. I'm coining that right now because this kid is absolutely fantastic. Over 300 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground last week. Yep. Bad Axe has found something. They're on a 3-game winning streak, the first time since 2001 they've won 3 in a row. Like I said, they've got a shot to make the playoffs.
We'll get to that game in more detail, but the game of the week on WLAW Sports took our crew to Vassar, Michigan, where the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers are trying to remain perfect and advance to 5-0 and taking on Greater Thumb West foe in Vassar. The final score of that one was Lakers 38 and Vassar 14. Let's take a listen in how that one sounded on WLAW Sports. In the wise words of Jon Bon Jovi, oh, we're halfway there, and some teams are living on a prayer. Two teams that have been in good graces of the football gods meet tonight on the gridiron as they face off for the first place spot of the Greater Thumb West. It's the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers traveling to the Vassar Vulcans. Two wide to the left, one to the right. Pratt is going to roll to his left to pass, and Lakers comes through with the sack back at the 40-yard line. Number 55, Quinton Smith, the defensive end senior, came through and blasted him. The Lakers been pressuring all night long, and this is a big loss. A loss of 12 yards on the play, and now it's going to be fourth in a country mile for Vassar. Seven plays of offense altogether for 59 yards thanks to that big pass play. Brandon Wischlager wide to the right, power pistol to the left. And it's going to be a handoff to Terrence Dube through the left gap, and he's in. Touchdown, Lakers. Terrence Dube from 5 yards out finds himself in for the score. It's Lakers 6, Vassar nothing, with 4:26 left in the first quarter. Minute and a half left in the first quarter. Lakers 8, Vassar nothing. Pratt back to pass. Pressure coming from Lakers. He gets this one off, but is intercepted. Intercepted at the 37-yard line. Pratt was pressured on that, had to let the one fly early. And it's brought in by a white jersey who's being swarmed right now. Minute 5 left in the first quarter. Lakers, after an interception, gets the ball back at the Vassar 35-yard line. It's a handoff to Diaz Reyes at the last minute, and he's in standing up, dragging the defender in with him. And now it is Laker touchdown. Lakers 14, Vassar nothing, with 9:51 left in the first half. Pratt rolls to his left, looking to pass right down the middle, has a receiver open, is caught at midfield by number 8, Wargo. He's still on his feet at the 40, and finally brought down at the 35-yard line in Laker territory.
Number 18, Brandon Wuschlager, the defensive back sophomore for Lakers, brought him down, but not after a huge gain on second down. That is a 35-yard reception, catch and carry for David Wargo. Pushes Vassar's drive into Laker territory, and for the first time tonight, they have a little momentum behind them. Lakers showing pressure. Pratt on the keeper, gets through the right gap, and he's in, standing up, dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Vassar. From 7 yards out, Pratt finds himself in the end zone for the first score of the night for Vassar. 6:14 left in the first half. 16-6, current score. Lakers leading by 10 with 19.9 seconds left. They are on Vassar's 1 yard line. And in for the touchdown is number 4, Dustin Cadie, on the keeper. And it is Lakers in for another touchdown. Lakers 22, Vassar 6, with 16.7 seconds left in the first half. Lakers still hanging on to that lead and trying to knock a few more points on the board here. It's Dustin Cadie on the keeper, down, and he's into the end zone of the far corner. Touchdown, Lakers. It's Lakers 28, Vassar 6, with 5:12 left in the third quarter. First and 10 from Lakers' 45-yard line. Vassar left to right across the radio. Little low snap, rolls to his left, passes right down midfield to Wargo, and it is caught at the 15-yard line. Wargo brings it in. Nice, beautiful pass. Wisner was in coverage and hit Wargo in the only spot he could bring that in. And it is a beautiful reception from the 45-yard line all the way down to the 15, a 30-yard catch for David Wargo. And Vassar is in the red zone for the second time tonight. And Pratt keeps it for himself with trips to the right. And he's all the way down to the 5-yard line. Breaks free with tackle. And touchdown, Vassar. Pratt breaks free of 3 tackles and scampers in from 11 yards out to make it Vassar 12, Lakers 30, with 2:39 left in the third quarter. First and 10, power pistol to the left, Wisner wide to the left, his handoff to Dubes around the right hand. He leaps over the line of scrimmage, has the first down, 5-yard line, in for the score, touchdown Lakers. Terrence Dubes from 25 yards out, in for the score, now makes it Lakers 36, Vassar 14. And they hand it off to Evan Shemke, who tries to go right through the middle, and he's in for the 2-point conversion. It is good. So now it is 38-14. Vassar going for it. 3 wide to the left, 1 to the right. Pratt in the shotgun, rolling to his left on 4th and 5. Let's this one rip through the hands. It's intercepted by Lakers at the 30-yard line. Brandon Wuschlager gets all the way across midfield and finally brought down at the Vassar 43-yard line. The heads-up play there, as it was actually tipped by Humphrey, went through his hands. Wuschlager tipped it straight in the air, actually a little forward progress, and then brought it in on the run. And finally is brought down at the Vassar 43-yard line. Wisner, in his victory formation, takes the kneel, and that is going to do it as both teams trying out the field. Final score from Vassar. Lakers takes the Greater Thumb West lead at 2-0 with 38. Vassar 14 on the WLEW Sports Network.
And joining us now on the strong side is the head coach of the Laker football program at 5-0 atop of the Greater Thumb West at 2-0 in divisional play. Adam Grabowskis, how are you tonight, sir?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. You're on live on air with Paul Adams here, and a beautiful win there against Vassar. A lot of people expected a Laker victory, but talk about you domination from the point A all the way to point Z.
I thought our team played really well. It was the first complete game that we put together all season, and just proud of our guys. We had a pretty good week of preparation, and then on Friday night showed up and played our best game. So I thought we did a really good job.
Looking at some of the stats here, Terrence Dubes, 23 carries for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dustin Cadie, 9 carries for 62 yards and 2 touchdowns himself. You have some players here who went down with injuries last week, left the game. Dustin Cadie, some weren't even sure if he's going to play this week, and come through and really control the tempo from the first play.
One thing about this team that we have, we are pretty tough. We have some guys that are still banged up and are playing through some injuries and some hurts, and they still are performing. So pretty proud of that our guys are battling through some of the injuries that we do have and able to continue playing and putting a good effort on Friday nights.
Coach Paul Adams here. In the first 4 weeks, you guys really battled not only injuries, but yourself. Committing penalties, committing turnovers. It, against Vassar, I thought you took care of that quite a bit with the penalties and the turnovers. Tell me how you guys have gone about that and taking care of both of those things.
The turnovers, you know, it's just something you stress every week, and it's something we knew we needed to clean up. And, you know, the goal is to get better every week, so those are some things we've been working on. As far as the penalties, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, week one and week two, I thought we made some bad penalties, you know, some mental mistakes. Week three and four, I didn't think we were too bad. I think we, for some reason, got some calls on us that I don't know if I necessarily agree with, because I don't think we played all that much different on Friday night against Vassar, and then we just didn't get the penalties. I think it was a pretty well coached or pretty well reffed game, and I thought our guys did a good, pretty good job of just keeping their heads and making sure that they were making the plays that they needed to play.
And I will attest to that. It wasn't that Lakers. I mean, you didn't change the way you played by any means. And also, a job well done. There were moments there when you could tell the Lakers out coached Vassar. In the realms of, especially with the hard counts on a, you know, facing a third and four, even a fourth and four, when you bring out the punt team and you get Vassar to come off and offsides, it was impressive to see from the booth. What were the feelings from the sideline?
We were just happy with the discipline of our players. You know, we did some hard counts, and we're hoping to draw them off. We knew that they were pretty aggressive on defense. They like to send a lot of bodies, and one way to slow them down is to do some hard counts, and we were able to do that in some key moments and get some offsides on them that ended up turning into some pretty big first downs for us. But without our guys being disciplined, those kinds of things don't work.
Looking here at the rushing stats for Vassar, Michael Pratt, the quarterback, scrambling quarterback, two-year starter at that position, you limited him to 11 carries for 51 yards. He still had two touchdowns. But regardless, when it came down to it, you contained Pratt from the get-go in it seems to be the front line on Lakers defense. Austin McCabe and Ian Snyder, it seems like they're in the backfield every single play.
Yeah, Pratt's a great player, and we knew that going in, and we knew that big part of our success was going to be containing him, so that was a big part of our focus. And you hit it right on with our front line. Our front line's playing really well. You know, not to mention our linebackers. Our linebackers are doing a really good job of cleaning up whatever's left from the D-line, and but I thought Friday night, both sides of the ball, our defensive line and offensive line really took that game over and did a great job. And, you know, the pressure on Pratt was definitely a key to our defense playing well.
Coach, I want to go back to the Cass City game real quick. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that. And I think when you look back at this season, if you guys achieved the goals that you have for yourselves, you know, winning the league title, getting to the playoffs, making a deep run, I think when you look back, I think the Cass City game is going to be the turning point because of the injuries that you guys suffered in that game. You had every reason to lose that game with who you lost, but yet you guys found a way to pull through. Do you think that could have been the turning point for this team and just to tell how tough this group of players really is?
Oh, yeah. Like I said last week, I was probably the most proud I've ever been of a team. Like you said, we had every reason to lose that game. You know, there were some calls that didn't go our way when you lose two of your best players within the first drive and, you know, lose a couple more along the way and guys are getting banged up and playing through a lot of pain. And there was every reason for our team to not win that game, but they found a way to win. And it was definitely something to build on. I think for us it was important in the sense of playing as a team. You know, it's something that this group has always kind of struggled with, and we've had a lot of individuals and not necessarily played as a team, but kind of unified us, and I think you saw that Friday night against Vassar.
And speaking of injuries, how healthy is your squad right now?
Not very. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of information, but we're banged up, and we have some guys that are playing that are still performing, but we're just banged up. You know, we had one on the sideline because of injury that wasn't able to play, and you know, I think everybody else will probably be able to dress again this week, but we have some guys playing through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, and you know what, that's part of football though. I mean, if you're at this point of the season and you're not hurting, you probably haven't played a whole lot of football. So but they're doing good, and we're just going to keep trying to nurse them along and get them as healthy as we can get them into this week's game.
Coach, when you look at the Greater Thumb West schedule, you've gone through two of the early season favorites with Vassar and Cass City. You have USA coming up this week, and then you have what could be the biggest game of the year with Bad X. Just talk about what you have left in order to achieve that goal of winning that Greater Thumb West. You guys really kind of control your own destiny now, and in these last 2 weeks helped you with that.
You know, for us, these next three games are really big for us. They were games that our kids talked about before the season. You know, USA and Bad X being our neighbors right next door, you always want to do well against them. We talk with our team about, you know, bragging rights for life, because these are the guys that they're going to see as they grow up. They're going to see kids from USA and Bad X as they get older. So those are definitely games we want to win. And then to end with Reese. Reese has been the champ. You know, they're a little bit down this year, but they've been the champ for the last few years. So that was definitely a game that we marked on our schedule too, and a game that we want to win. So I think these last three games for us, they're games that our kids will get up for and be ready for and be ready to play.
Well, best of luck along the way as you are hosting the USA Patriots for getting their first victory out of the season, coming into the game at 1-4. But the Lakers moving on to 5-0 and 2-0 atop the Greater Thumb West. Best of luck to you, and thanks for joining us on The Strong Side.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
That's Adam Grybauskas, the head coach for the Lakers squad. Like we said, coming into a big game against Vassar and dominating first moment of this game.
And it goes back to the question I asked about the Cass City game, and I think that brought them together as a team, and Coach Grybauskas touched on that. They've had a lot of great individuals, but individuals don't win games. Teams win games, and I think that Cass City game just brought this team together, showed them what they were fully capable of. By far, the best game we've seen out of the Lakers in the last 2 years, I think, was Friday against Vassar. That was a total team win.
Lakers never trail in this game. They came out to a 16-0 lead before Vassar put 6 points on the board, but Lakers responded right back with 14 more points, in fact, making it 30-6 coming halfway through the third quarter. Vassar scores to make it 30-14, and Lakers, Terrence Dubes with a 25-yard run to make it 38-14, and no scoring in that fourth quarter. Lakers finished the game with 50 carries for 289 yards and 5-for-7 in passing for 105 yards, so 394 yards for Lakers on the road. They had one fumble, and they lost one fumble, but only 6 penalties for 45 yards. A much cleaner game for Lakers and a very impressive game.
Yeah, they were clean on the turnovers, only committed to one, 6 penalties, 45 yards, so less than 50 yards on penalties when we were seeing 100 yards and a half of penalties from this team. That's what good teams are supposed to do. Good teams that are supposed to make runs in the playoffs, that's what you have to do, and we finally saw that from the Lakers, and I think they're going to ride that momentum for the rest of the season, or at least until when they face Bad X.
And Vassar's offense has struggled all night. Like we said, the front four of Lakers' defense was in the backfield the entire time. The defense ended up with 3 interceptions, 2 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, and 1 recovered fumble. Not too bad.
And that's a high-powered Vassar offense. Like you said, Pratt is an experienced quarterback. He knows how to get things done, and they held him really in check and dominated that defense. Like you said, that defensive front for them, that is a tough, tough sledding for any team.
Vassar's Pratt ended on 11 carries for 51 yards and 2 touchdowns. Callahan and Atwood then combined for 30 yards total. That's it for the rushing attack. Passing the ball, Pratt had decent success, completing 66% of his passes, 14 for 21, but he did have 3 picks for 175 yards in the night. His main receiver was David Wargo, 6 for 7 for 103 yards. Then Callahan and Humpert each with 29 yards.
But they didn't throw for any touchdowns.
No, they didn't.
Lakers made them a one-dimensional team because they took the run away. They allowed them to gain some yards in the middle, but when they had to, they tightened up, whether they got a stop on a tackle or one of those 3 interceptions. So that's a great defense there. Ben, don't break. That's what the Lakers did.
And Lakers now goes on to host USA at 5-0, USA at 1-1 in league play, and 1-4 on the season as they defeated Reese this week. Vassar now 1-1 in league play in the West, is 3-2 overall, losing to Lakers and Harbor Beach on the season. And they host Cass City, a team that's reeling right now on a 3-game losing streak after starting out the season at 2-0, Cass City 2-3, and 0-2 in the West.
Yeah, I am not looking forward at all to picking Cass City and Vassar for our picks next week. That's going to be a really, really tough game.
It's time for a short break on the Strong Side, your home for high school football on WLEW Sports. When we return, we'll take a look at the other area games, left side or right side. You're listening to The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe. It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jamie Ener. Just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, straight in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto temperature, dual zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone. $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring.
WLEW Sports is proud to present the Strong Side, all things high school football, every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season on Sports Radio 102.1. Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams in studio here on the east side campus of WLEW Sports. We just got off the phone with Adam Grybauskas and the Lakers. Now let's take a look at the other big game of the week that shocked the entire world. Bad Axe shocking everyone, even the folks in Bad Axe. Bad Axe comes out and takes out Cass City 50-40. It was 14-0 after the first quarter, Bad Axe. Then all of a sudden, they decide, hey, you know what, folks, let's put 42 points up combined in the second quarter alone and make it 28-all at halftime. Then here, let's pick it up in the third quarter. Cass City comes out and scores a touchdown to start the third quarter, and all of a sudden, Cass City has their first lead of the night at 34-28. Bad Axe responds with a Tommy Morneau 55-yard run, two-point conversion is good. Suddenly, Bad Axe is up 36-34. Bad Axe, Joey Amon, a 25-yard run, another two-point conversion is good, makes it 44-34, Bad Axe with a 10-point lead. Cass City, though, not done yet in the fourth quarter. Drew Loomis recovers a fumble in Bad Axe's end zone for a touchdown, and suddenly we have a four-point game, and Bad Axe is hanging on to 44-40. But then Bad Axe's Jared Brown on a 99-yard drive that started at Bad Axe's first or one-yard line comes all the way down the field, a 16-yard run to cap that went off. The two-point conversion failed, but it didn't matter as Bad Axe comes home with a victory 50-40 over Cass City.
You know, there's a couple things that stand out, Timmy Clark. Normally when Bad Axe gets out to a lead like this, they find a way to lose. And that's just
true,
that's
story.
Just the truth. I'm not being mean here. You know, coming out of the half, Cass City scores, you're thinking, well, it was a nice try, Bad Axe. But instead, they answer with a couple of scores. And then when Cass City gets within 4 points and the game's in the balance, Bad Axe does something that they rarely do, a 99-yard clutch drive to close out a game. That's what good teams do. And you can see now, Bad Axe, these players are believing. And that's hard. It's hard to turn around that culture of losing. We've talked about this. Everybody knows. The last time they won three in a row, 2001. That's the last time they've had a winning record, was in 2001. That's a long, long time of losing. All these players on this roster, they've never experienced a winning team, or at least they can't remember a winning team in Bad Axe. And when all you know is losing, it's really hard to turn that around. But now, you look at the last three games, especially this one against Cass City. You know, they beat Sandusky, they beat USA. Those are not really good teams. Cass City is a good team. They went toe-to-toe with Lakers the week before, lost by 4 points. They were the favorite to come into this game. This was the win that I've been saying all along. Bad Axe needed a signature win. They needed something that they could build on, and this win is the one that they can build on.
Well, certainly fits the bill, and Tommy Morneau, leading the charge, now in his second year as a starting junior quarterback for Pat Axe. 30 carries, 337 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
That's touchdown Tommy now. He's earned that moniker.
It is unreal when he has a 55-yard run, a 16-yard run, a 60-yard run, and a 2-yard run, just as some of his scoring on the night. It's unbelievable when it's what a junior is really transforming that entire squad and proving to other players on that team that, hey, we can do this. And Matt McVay chips in 9 carries for 74 yards, and Joe Amon 8 carries for 62 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
When Bannix is putting up 7 touchdowns in a night and not through the air, it's hard. It's amazing.
This what they did was absolutely amazing, and now they are believing. They might have not been fully believing, you know, coming into this game. Now they're believing, and you look at it. They have Reese coming in this week. That's a win. I mean, they're going to be heavily favored to beat Reese, and then you know what the next game is? Lakers, and that's going to be for the Greater Thumb West Championship. Who thought at the beginning of the season?
Bad Axe Lakers would come down to it.
Nobody thought at the beginning of the season.
We certainly didn't.
No. But we had no reason to think that. Now we do. And, you know, you've got to credit these kids, and you've got to credit this coaching staff, Coach Minetti, Coach Durr, and all the other people that have put time into this. They have put so much effort into turning this thing around, and finally, it is starting to turn around. They still don't have a JV program, but you know what? When you start winning, all of a sudden, you know, people want to be a part of that. And unfortunately, somebody's got to be the first to turn things around. But when it turns around, it can stay in the right direction for a long, long time. And I'm hoping that's the direction that we're seeing Bad Axe going.
And for Cass City, Sawyer Cutthroat and Drew Loomis each had a touchdown. Drew Loomis actually had 2 touchdowns when he tapped in that recovery on the fumble. And then Mason Erla threw for a touchdown to Jack Stern to tie the game up at 28-28 going into halftime. Unbelievable when Mason Erla connects with Jack Stern on fourth down for that score. And we saw that. We saw Kansas City do that against Lakers, make some big plays when it came down to it. But for whatever reason, Kansas City keeps finding themselves with a short straw in their deck. And Cass City is better than a 2-3 team.
Absolutely. We both saw Cass City. You saw them against Lakers.
I saw them against Harbor Beach.
And they had momentum behind themselves. Yeah, I thought against Harbor Beach, even though they lost that game, I thought there was positives that they could take from that. I certainly did not expect, a couple games later for them to be on a 3-game losing streak. They could still make the playoffs, but it basically comes down to they have to beat Vassar this week. And I just don't know, you know, what to put my finger on with this Cass City team, because there is a lot of talent on this team, but for whatever reason, it's just not clicking for the Redhawks.
Well, at the beginning of the season, Coach Scott Cuthrell for Cass City said if they're going to make a playoff run, they said on our preseason show, if they're going to make a playoff run, they're going to have to do it with a lot of young talent. And maybe that's exactly it. There's a strong nucleus there of junior players on this team between Mason Erla and Sawyer Cuthrell. You know, and a lot of other players, key players there, that maybe it all starts to click next year in the offseason, and they're going to come out of the gates running next year.
I just hate to see this team finish 5-4 for another painful season,
because
I really, really believed in my heart that Cass City was going to make the playoffs this year. Now they have to run the table, and it's not out of the realm of possibility when you look at the remainder of their schedule. They've gone through basically the toughest part of their schedule. If they could find a way to beat Vassar, slow Vassar down, I think they could right this ship and still make the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Well, we'll see what happens with Cass City.
Was that from Coach Cuthrell after the after the loss?
Something like that. You know, Jim Moore is not working these days anymore. And now let's take a look at the complete opposite of the Bad Axe Cass City game, where there was 90 combined points and USA 8, Reese 6. USA scored in the second quarter on a Tanner Foley 30-yard pass to Aaron Sines. Then Sines ran it in for 2 points, makes it 8-0 USA. Third quarter, don't even look at scoring. Nothing happened. Move on to the fourth quarter, and a touchdown late, the 2-point conversion failed. And it's 8-6 USA, and then Reese gets the ball late in the fourth quarter, and they get stopped inside the USA 3-yard line 4 straight times. and USA stands tall and comes home with their first victory.
They got that huge offense or defensive stop. You got to talk about the offensive side of the ball. USA took over the ball on their 6-yard line, or 6-inch line. I'm sorry, 6-inch line. So they get a safety. All of a sudden, it's a tie ball game. Ryan Miller-wise comes up with a 6-yard run, and then he breaks a 70-yarder to allow them to salt the game away. So just a great effort. You got to tip the hat to USA because you know they've been having a rough season. Like I said in the open, that's their first Sugar Bowl win since 2005.
And what's impressive is Ryan Miller-wise, he had 6-yard carry and then a 70-yard carry on the last drive of the night to milk the clock out and win that game. He had 81 yards the entire night, 76 come off with two plays at the very end of the game, and that just tells you the resilience. I mean, it's easy for USA coming into this game at 0-4, playing Reese. I mean,
you know, and we knew Reese was down, but Reese was a prohibitive favorite, even though they had been struggling themselves. You had to think Reese was still the favorite to win this game, especially, you know, USA hadn't done really anything. So this is just a, you know, I had a chance to talk to Coach Beagle. He called in his stats, and I mean, there wasn't many stats to report. He even laughed about that himself, but he was ecstatic after the game.
He knows how rough
it's been for this program over not only this year but the last few years. This was a program that was in the playoffs every single year and competing for state championships. It's hard to see where USA has gone, so you got to feel happy for the Patriots to get this win.
And Tanner Foley for the Patriots led the defensive front with 15 tackles on the night. Austin Harper chipped in 10 tackles and 1 sack, and Macklin Gettle had an interception in the first half, which halted Reese's offensive front.
Yeah, and Reese was driving on that interception, and Macklin Gettle comes up with that pick to really stop them from scoring. And who knows, if Reese would have scored, that probably, the way this thing was playing out, could have been the ball game.
And Reese now travels to Bad Axe, which will actually be on 102.1 this coming Friday. I unfortunately will not be there. I'm going to be in East Lansing for some different festivities. It's the 25-year reunion of all these Sparty mascots, and I'll be there participating in that. And then USA is at Lakers, which will be an interesting game in the West.
I know there's a joke somewhere about that mascot get-together, but I can't think about it. I can't think of it right now.
Well, they'll beat any other mascot up, so I know that much. But right now, it's time to take a look at the weather. We've had a beautiful streak of weather over the past 10 days, and I hate to admit it, but I think we're going to be getting some sleet, some snow, and everything else pretty quick here.
It was
as punishment.
The best week of the summer.
No kidding. It came in at the end of September. This weather update is being brought to you on WLA Sports by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky for great vehicles, great incentives, great selection, and great service. Visit the great Graf Chevy Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
As high pressure shifts off to the east, a weak frontal boundary will drop in from the north and west. Over the next 24 hours, this will bring us a little bit of cloudiness and also a chance of some light rain showers as we look ahead towards tomorrow night. Otherwise, high pressure will build back in behind this frontal boundary and will be back to near seasonable levels in terms of daytime highs and overnight lows. Partly cloudy for the overnight, there'll be some areas of fog develop as the overnight lows drop into the mid to upper 40s. We'll have a calm wind and no chance of precipitation tonight nor tomorrow. For tomorrow, we'll have areas of morning fog, otherwise mostly sunny, highs at 72 to 77 with a light and variable wind. Increasing clouds tomorrow night with a risk of showers after midnight, overnight lows at 48 to 53. Winds will be south-southwesterly at 5 to 10 miles per hour out ahead of that frontal boundary. On Tuesday, skies will be cloudy, quite cool, highs will be in the mid-50s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
Thank you, Paul, for that. 7:39 and a half on Sports Radio 102.1. When we return, we'll break down the Sandusky, Ubley, Harbor Reach, Memphis, and Marlette Brown City games, all coming up on The Strong Side.
At the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we join Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
At Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we always have a great selection of Chevy Silverado and Duramax diesel pickups.
And at the right price, because trucks are what we do.
Right now, drive a 2014 Silverado double cab 4x4 for only $274 a month
and save over $14,500 on a 2014 Silverado HD.
The 100 anniversary deals just keep getting better.
So stop into the premier truck dealer in the Thumb at Graff Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky.
36-month, 30,000 GMBPP lease to qualified buyer. First month payment plus tax, title, license, and dock fees due at signing. Payment plus tax.
We got a lot of trucks.
You can say that again.
Stay up to date with WLAW Sports on Twitter. Simply follow at WLAW Sports to receive in-game updates, stats, and even photos from the game. That's at WLAW Sports. Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams on the strong side here on 740 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1. And let's take a look at this Sandusky-Ubley game. Another low-scoring game here. Sandusky, though, comes out with a 13-6 victory over a injury-prone Ubley team here. In the first quarter, no scoring. Ubley actually had the lead in the second quarter with a Derek Brown 38-yard run. Two-point conversion failed to make it 6-0 Ubley going into halftime. In the third quarter, though, Sandusky puts up 13 straight points. Chase Tucker with a 1-yard run and a Potter kick is good. Makes it 7-6 Sandusky. And then Joe Stone chips in a 1-yard run as well. The kick failed, making it 13-6, but that's all they needed. No scoring from either team in the fourth quarter. Final score, Sandusky 13, Ubley 6.
This is one of those surprising games to me, Clark. I really thought Ubley would win this game. They put up a ton of points, even though they were injury-riddled against Marlette the week before. I thought they would roll up more than 6 points against Sandusky, a team that's struggling just about as badly as Ubley is. So this is kind of a surprising one, disappointing one. I know some of those players, their minds might have been elsewhere. There was a tragic event that happened just hours before that game. I don't want to get into any details about that, but you know, maybe they were distracted, and if they were, you can't blame them for what happened over there in Ubley over the weekend. But you know, this was a disappointing game. I really thought this was a chance for Ubley to win this game.
Well, two key players that were on the non-active roster for this week were quarterback Jeffrey Wright and fullback Dominic Rosenthal. So take those two players out from the Ubley offense and you have a large hole.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt you have a hole, but you know, Jeffrey Wright's out for the year. He didn't play against Marlette either, and they put up I think 26 points against Marlette, who I think is the second best team in the Greater Thumb East right now. So when you look at that, that was kind of my train of thought when I predicted Ubley to win this game. So I'm kind of disappointed because I lost a game to Seth Stapleton, and I never like to lose a game to him. You know, more disappointed for Ubley because, you know, they've fallen on some real hard times here. And, you know, as these losses keep mounting up, it's harder and harder to turn this thing around and start remembering what it's like to have those wins and go to the playoffs.
Ubley on the night ended with 33 rushing plays for 133 yards. Sandusky, 47 plays of rushing the ball for 170 yards. And get this, neither team completed a pass. Ubley was 0 for 6 and no interceptions, and Sandusky was 0 for 1 and 1 interception.
Well, you shall not pass!
I mean, what
there was at least one completion. Ubley caught a pass.
Just the wrong jerseys.
Right.
So, of course, I mean, Brandel doing the duties of the quarterback with Jeffrey Wright out for the season. Derek Brown, 15 carries, 77 yards, and one touchdown, still being consistent as ever. Welton, 12 carries, 47 yards, and Brandel, 5 carries for 4 yards. And then rushing for Sandusky, who actually has a decent backfield as far as running backs goes. Chase Tucker, 18 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Lisecki, 12 carries, the quarterback, for 42 yards. Joe Stone, 9 carries, 32 yards, and a touchdown. And DeVault, 7 carries for 31 yards. And Lisecki, of course, threw that interception. No passing yards for Sandusky either.
Yeah, you know, you look back at Jeffrey Wright being hurt, and this was supposed to be his breakout year, and for him to injure that ankle, break that ankle against Lakers. By the way, he completed that game.
Yes, he did.
He completed that game with a broken ankle, so tough kid there. You feel for him, you feel for Ubley, because you know, a lot of that offense was going to go through him, and unfortunately, due to injury, he's out, and you know, Ubley is really struggling.
Sandusky now at 1-1 in league play, makes it now 2-3 overall. They host Marlette, who is 4-1 on the season and 2-0 in the Greater Thumb East play. Ubley 0-2 in the East and 1-4 on the season, plays at home against Memphis with the same exact record, 0-2 in play of the East and 1-4 on the season. Harbor Beach and Memphis. Harbor Beach, what we believe, blanks Memphis 50-0. Harbor Beach comes out and scores 43 points in the first half, 28-15. Not a bad start here. They ended the night here with 50 points, chipping in 7 points in the fourth quarter off of 12 first downs, 36 rushing carries, and 295 yards for Harbor Beach. But then again, no passing yards. They went 0-for-5 in the passing attack.
Yeah, a little concerned about that, but when you're running the ball that well, what's the use in passing? You know, you and I talked before we went on, there's so much more to this Harbor Beach offense that we haven't even experienced yet, and Coach Shelke hasn't had to use it. There is a lot in the playbook, and we've seen that throughout the playoff runs that they've had. And I think as we get a little bit deeper, right about now, I think Coach Shelke's going to start dipping into that playbook, because you don't want to just keep it all to yourself. You want to make sure these kids can not only do it in practice, but they need to do it in games. They need to reach into that playbook in games. So I think you're going to see some different things out of the Pirates here in the last 4 weeks of the season as they get ready for what I believe is a very long playoff run.
Austin Seltz ended the night with 10 carries, carrying the mail for 94 yards and 3 touchdowns. Chris Keys, 8 carries, 73 yards and a touchdown. Devin Lemanski, 6 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. And Puff, 4 carries for 29 yards and 2 scores. Passing the ball, Josh Shelke, 0-for-4. And Chris Keys, 0-for-1. And no receptions for the Harbor Beach offense.
You know what really stands out to me? You didn't mention Josh Shelke's name in the rushing stats.
No.
And I actually like that. I really do.
He's a true quarterback.
The first couple weeks of the season, it was the Josh Shelke show. Now we're getting to see those other players get integrated into the offense and become important parts of that offense. You know what Josh Shelke can do. He's a tremendous quarterback, but it can't just be him. And now we saw that in this win. Really, I think a nice spread out distribution of the ball when you look at the yards and touchdowns, and that's what the Pirates need. And you know what Josh Shelke can do. He's special.
As taking a look here, Harbor Beach averaged 8.1 yards per carry on the night, and Austin Seltz has 9 rushing touchdowns in his past 3 games alone. This kid is small, the kid is strong, and the kid is fast.
He's only small in height. This kid, he is built. I love his build as a running back. He only runs maybe about my size, and I'm a little guy, folks. But Austin Seltz is a lot stronger than I am.
Who's taller, you or Dave Hansen? That's the question.
It's close.
Okay.
It's close. But let me tell you what. When Austin Seltz hits you on offense or defense, you know about it. He loves contact. He's put on muscle in the offseason. He's really become a featured back for these Pirates, and I really like what this team is doing right now.
This is a little off topic, but I think the best tackle I saw all weekend between high school and college football was actually the strength and conditioning coach of Ohio State. If you haven't seen this, folks, look it up. The Ohio State strength coach, that should pop it up on YouTube or whatever else you need to look on Google. An Ohio State fan ran onto the field in Ohio Stadium, and the strength and conditioning coach just body slammed him. He looked like Monday Night Raw.
As you know, I'm a wrestling fan, and you know what move he put on him?
I have no clue.
He put the Rock Bottom on him. He took a move from the Rock. He put the Rock Bottom on that fan. It was beautiful.
I'll take your word for it. Memphis now 0-2 in the East and 1-4 in the season. They head to Ubley to take on the same record, 0-2 and 1-4 Bearcats. Harbor Beach now 5-0 on the season, 2-0 in league play. They travel to Brown City, who is 1-1 in the East and 2-3 overall. And very quickly here, Marlette and Brown City, the remaining teams in the East. Marlette big with a victory, 47-18, and really, it was 41-6 in this game, starting the fourth quarter when Connor Thomas had a 14-yard pass to Aaron Leffler, and then Brown City chipped in 2 scores in that fourth down to make it a fairly close game. Then Marlette with another Connor Thomas 71-yard kickoff return to make it 47-18 Marlette. Marlette wasn't supposed to be that all too well, but they ended the night with 329 rushing yards and 92 yards passing the ball. And Marlette, not too bad here in the East.
Yeah, I think that wake-up, they received a wake-up call in week 2 when they nearly lost to Bad Axe.
And one thing I wanted to point out with that Bad Axe team, they were converting on two-point conversions, which was the difference in the Marlette game.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do. You got to not a lot of these teams have kickers. You got to convert on those two-pointers. But I think we'd all agree Marlette's the second-best team in the East. We're looking forward to that eventual game with Harbor Beach. It's not, you know, high-flying offense, but, you know, they're going to have to find a way to stop the Pirates. And as we know, Harbor Beach has a tremendous defense. I think, you know, in a couple weeks when I think Harbor Beach is heading to Marlette.
October 17th at Marlette.
It's going to be a tough sled for the Red Raiders one more time.
Connor Thomas, 13 carries for 186 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's including the kickoff return. And Connor Thomas has 11 rushing touchdowns in 3 weeks. Marlette now 4-1 on the season, 2-0 in league play. They play at Sandusky, who is 2-3 and 1-1 in the East. And Brown City plays at Harbor Beach. I'm not quite sure on the location.
No, I believe it's at Brown City.
Harbor Beach at Brown City. Yeah. I have that reversed there.
Yeah, because we haven't had a chance to see the Pirates here. They've been away from home, but now we're going to get to see them there in a couple weeks against Ubley when they return home.
Yes, the sale returns as it's homecoming for Harbor Beach and Ubley in just a couple weeks. Brown City, 2-3 and 1-1. They play Harbor Beach at Brown City, 5-0 and 2-0 on the season.
You know, I didn't know if the Greater Thumb East would produce another playoff team. Now at 4-1, you got to think with the remaining schedule that Marlette has, they have a real decent shot to make the playoffs.
And we have Eddie Fury chiming in here from Thumbtailier Sports that Connor Thomas actually scored a touchdown as a running back, a wide receiver, special teams, and also threw for a touchdown.
That's pretty special. You don't see that very often.
That's I was going to say that's like Michigan quarterback style.
Oh.
But we won't even go into that right now. 7:52 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1. When we return, we'll take a look at the upcoming week in high school football. Left or right side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline and Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. You can get a 2015 Silverado Heavy Duty Crew Cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and filling in for Dave Hansen here. Paul P. Adams, who we might just see in the studio here more often as the season progresses.
Well, you know, I was just telling you during the break there, Clark, the last couple weeks I've been taking advantage of this beautiful weather we've been having, getting out on the golf course, but we're losing more sunlight and the weather's starting to turn, so...
That's right. Friday actually marked the day that we only have 11 hours and 59 minutes of sunlight. We now have more darkness than light up there.
Depressing.
Well, let's take a look at the...
But it means we're closer to the playoffs.
That's very true. The next week's games here, coming up in our region, in the Greater Thumb Conference West Division, Reese is at Bad Axe, Cass City at Lakers, and USA. This is... Cass City's at Vassar. Yep. Lakers can't play two teams at the same time.
Although they're good, but they're not that good.
They could, potentially. Cass City at Vassar and USA at Lakers. What do you think there?
Good crop of games. I actually think the West games are way better than the East games this week. Probably more implications. Bad Axe, coming off a huge win, has another chance to beat a rival they haven't beaten in a long time. looking for Cass City to get back on track, beat Vassar. I think they could still get into the playoffs. And then you got the Lakers. They're riding high off their best game of the year. They need to keep that momentum going as they, you know, they get a win now. They're going to clinch their playoff berth.
Let's take a look at the Greater Thumb Conference East Division. Harbor Beach at Brown City, Marlette at Sandusky, and Memphis at Ubley.
Not a lot to get excited about
not
in the East
really,
this week.
No.
Like I said, you look at the West, there's a lot to be excited about. East, not so much. Harbor Beach is, I think, continuing to take care of business. Marlette should take care of business. Toughest game to pick is Memphis and Ubley. That is going to be a real difficult game.
Now down to eight-man football. Peck at Kingston and CPS at Caseville. Those are the two only NCTL games going on next week.
I actually think both of those games could be a little bit closer than you might think.
I believe that. I believe that.
Like I said, in the opening, Kingston's got a very good defense. They held Deckerville to 14 points earlier this season. So this is not a gimme game for Peck, and CPS is not a great team. Just beat North Huron by a point. Caseville held their own against North Huron. I look for this game to be closer than you might think.
And a game you can hear on Thumb Tailgater Sports is Morris at North Huron. Excuse me, Lawrence at Deckerville. I take that back. Lawrence at Deckerville will be on Thumb Tailgater Sports with
Eddie
Fury.
That's on Saturday.
That's on Saturday with Paul Adams.
Yes,
will be on the
I'll
call.
Be there. I went to that game last year. Lawrence is a real good team. They one of the nicest groups of people we've ever met. They were so accommodating. Can't wait to see them again. Hopefully we can welcome them. And this is a meeting between two undefeated teams, two state-ranked teams. A lot to be excited about for Lawrence and Deckerville.
You know the game I'm most excited about? Charlton Heston plays at Dryden.
you got to love Charlton Heston.
Just by the name itself. And then in the Mid-Michigan Conference, we have Akron Fairgrove playing at Flint Michigan School of the Deaf. That takes place on Thursday. And then Owen Gage at New Haven Merritt on Friday as well.
I did want to note Morris at North Huron. I believe that is a Saturday game as well.
Okay, there you have it. And of course, the WLW Sports game with our other crew will be covering the Reese at Bad Axe game on Friday night. Coverage starting probably at 6:45 or 6:50 with kickoff at 7 p.m. on WLEW Sports. You know, one last thing I want to talk about here as we have finished up our look at here at the Greater Thumb Conference in NCTL. Harbor Beach at 2-0, and tied with Marlette at 2-0, but Blakers and Bad Axe also at 2-0. Hard to believe that Bad Axe on top of it, but it's about time.
It is, absolutely. We've been talking about it. It's a huge deal. It's very unexpected this year. I thought Bad Axe might have been another year away from competing, but here they are. They should beat Reese. They're going to go into Lakers, and the winner of that game is going to control the Greater Thumb West. There's no two ways around it.
But considering the team that controls the Central, the Detroit Tigers today clinched the AL Central to make certain that they are going to the playoffs. It came down to 161 games and two outs before it was quite certain. It's hard to believe that they'll play 162 games and it comes down right down to the very wire. Talk about just a romance with the sport.
Absolutely. And David Price, who he came in that big trade, he was absolutely outstanding today. The other guy that we traded for in the offseason, Ian Kinsler, came through with a couple of RBIs, including a home run. So the trades worked out. They're going to play at Baltimore starting on Thursday. Actually, I'm not going to be here for the strong side next week because I'm going to be at the playoff game.
There
so
you are.
I knew there was a reason I wasn't going to be here.
Okay.
That's a good reason to not
Absolutely.
Be here.
Absolutely. I will. That is a submitted request,
yes.
And I will allow you not to be in.
But very, very exciting. I know some people have been critical. It's a huge payroll. But you know what? You can't take away from Kansas City either. That's a good ball club, Kansas City. And they made the Tigers work for it. Now, all the records are even. I'll take my chances with the Tigers in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see what happens there as it's 7:59 on Sports Radio 102.1. And I'll even allow you guys to listen to Dan Dickerson and Jim Price next week at the same time.
You know, I might even just stream in the strong side in my ear while I'm at the game.
Of course, you can stream worldwide with the Cruise 102 app just located in your Apple or Android device. Or just go to thumbnet.net and click Listen Live, and it'll take you right there as well. So in the meantime, I'd like to thank you for listening to The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams. And like we said, until next week, This week, Bannack's at Reese. Or Reese at Bannack's on Sports Radio 102.1 this coming Friday. Until then, so long. You've been listening to The Strong Side.
Superiority over the thumb.